Bickley and Murata, live at Cardinals HQ. This is Cardinals All Access at the OTAs, presented by Courtesy Chevrolet, your exclusive home for Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, we are live at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center in Tempe. Been out here all week, back in studio tomorrow, and then back next week for week two of voluntary OTAs. I want to remind you that Cardinals season tickets are on sale now. The 2019 home schedule includes visits by the Steelers, Browns, Panthers, Lions, and Falcons, as well as the Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers. Cardinals, of course, have a streak of 134 straight games. Every game they've ever played at State Farm Stadium being sold out. For more information on Cardinals tickets, you can call 602-379-0102 or visit azcardinals.com/tickets for more information. And coming up, starting at 12:45, we'll have our duo of Cardinals guests, Keyshawn Johnson, rookie wide receiver, and Justin Pugh will join us and play a little trivia with us as well. The Golden State Warriors are just sitting back and waiting. They swept the Portland Trail Blazers in the Western Conference Finals. They're headed to the NBA Finals for the fifth straight year. And now they can just sit back, wait, and kind of scout both of their potential opponents, either Toronto Raptors or the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, there are questions about the Golden State Warriors. The biggest one in the now, Bic, is the condition of Kevin Durant. Now, they are beat up. Durant didn't play in the series. Andre Iguodala missed the last game. DeMarcus Cousins already suffered an injury earlier in the playoffs. So I think there's questions on all three of them. The biggest one is about Durant. And I know there's this building sentiment that the Warriors prove they don't need Kevin Durant to win a title.
I think they like that a lot.
You don't agree with that?
I think there might be elements to that, yes. But I also believe Milwaukee and Toronto are better top-to-bottom teams than what Portland put forth in the Western Conference Finals. So I don't think it's going to be as easy without Kevin Durant in this next round.
They definitely want him back. I'm trying not to to muddle my point. I think that Draymond Green has not always been the biggest Kevin Durant fan. Draymond Green has got a great thing acting as the protector for Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, sort of as the third guy in that triumvirate. And we know that Draymond hasn't always been down with KD. That said, I think they know they proved their point against the Trailblazers by sweeping that series in a series that KD didn't even play. And more than anything, they want to be NBA champions. So, yes, there's no doubt they want him back. It's not like they're sitting around going, I hope he doesn't get healthy because I love playing without him. Yeah. That's not happening.
Yeah. They want to get to where they want to go.
Right.
Kevin Durant being healthy and contributing makes it easier.
That's exactly
right. The other question about Kevin Durant is what happens after this? He could move locales for next year. The sentiment for a long time has been, okay, he's going to New York. It's a done deal. Mark Stein of the New York Times had a report yesterday that said from his sources, he's hearing the Clippers and the Knicks both have equal chances to land Kevin Durant. Well, it was interesting that Kevin Durant's agent, Rich Kleiman, was on a Wall Street Journal panel on that subject of Kevin Durant's future, where he might play next year and beyond came up. And here's what Kleiman had to say.
What you're saying is that this has not been decided. There's no hidden handshake agreement.
No.
With the New York Knicks?
No.
No, nothing like that?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That is 100% undecided, and I'm waiting on Kevin, you know? That's the truth. I think there's a feeling that this thing is like war games, and everybody's kind of like
playing a role.
Yeah, playing chess, like, years out. But when somebody gets to the level of basketball that he's at, you can't juggle focus like that. There's so many things he's juggling, too. He's not scripting his future while he's playing the way he plays and practices the way he practices. And I think it's frustrating, honestly, at times. But I get it. I do get it. I get that, like, even as a kid, the kind of soap opera of it all was just beginning, and I liked it. Now, I think in some ways, it's like more soap opera at times than basketball. But he really doesn't know, and I really don't know.
I love that sound, first of all.
Yeah.
You don't hear that kind of stuff very often from an agent in season like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of mocks, I don't know if you saw this, but The Onion had a fabulous headline It said, employee using up all his sick days before leaving the company. And there's a picture of Kevin Durant. I thought that was so funny because, you know, right, like he's going to be dunking out a series to use up all his sick days before he leaves. Let me ask you this, okay? And Mark Stein kind of enhanced or confirmed what his agent just said there by saying, don't be surprised if the Clippers end up with Kevin Durant. We have heard Kevin Durant call Monty Williams the greatest man he's ever met, the greatest coach he's ever had. After actually,
I think he said greatest human being, greatest man, something to that effect.
Something to that, yeah. It was really high, lofty praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
After hearing Monty Williams talk and kind of going, okay, that now you know why people feel that way. Does it change your opinion about the Suns maybe reeling in a Kevin Durant?
No, I still think it's a pipe dream. Okay. Does Monty Williams' presence maybe get them a discussion? Maybe. We shall see. I was interested by that sound from Rich Kleiman as well. And you're right. You don't hear agents talk like that while a season is going on and while the client that they're discussing is actually on a team that's pursuing another championship. I don't believe Rich Kleiman for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use the phrase he's 100% undecided. I don't believe that. He talked about juggling focus. When you're playing basketball at a high level, can you switch your focus to the future? I think this is not a knock on Kevin Durant. I think that's the nature of today's NBA player, is they're looking for the next big thing, the next step in their career, the next chapter in their book. Is it his sole focus? Absolutely not. But we have so many examples of these high-profile, top-of-the-league superstars, Bic, that when they reveal how they ended up where they ended up with the players they're playing with, oh, this has been in the works for a while.
Yeah,
we
right.
talked about that at
That's
the Olympics
yeah,
or the World
right.
Championships. It happens all the time. Kevin Durant's a different dude. We know that. So I believe shreds and pieces of what Rich Kleiman said, but I'd be shocked if Kevin Durant hasn't thought about his future. I mean, it's been lingering all season long with the Draymond Green stuff that you
right.
brought up.
Of course, yeah. And again, it's do I believe his agent that no decision has been made? Yes, I do believe that. I don't think the Kevin Durant to New York is a done deal because there's a lot of dysfunction there as well. And because, like I said, even though he and Kyrie are tight, I don't know if Kyrie's the greatest teammate ever. And then the whole Zion piece that didn't go New York's way, I don't know if that's going to be a deal breaker. So all that being said, I think that he most certainly has thought about it. I'm certain he's got a small list of teams he's going to consider.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that scenario of hearing somebody go, yeah, we had this plan months ago or whatever. Remember you talked about what if the Cardinals knew that Kyler Murray was out there and then they hired Cliff Kingsbury because of that? What if all of this is related? What if we find out down the road that all of this was kind of part of James Jones' plan to snag a great coach and Kevin Durant? I'm telling you, I'm not ruling it out. I think you're right and I think I'm wrong because I get suckered into this stuff way more than you do. But I've heard what Kevin Durant said on the podcast about the city of Scottsdale. And there were other cities he loved as well. So it's not like he was just singling out Old Town Scottsdale. But I got to believe they'll get an audience with him. And we'll see what happens.
We shall see. You made the joke, too, of the Onion headline saying employee using all the sick time before he leaves company. Picture of Kevin Durant. That subject came up during this Wall Street Journal panel as well with Rich Kleiman. Said, everything that KD is going through right now with the calf strain, it's very real.
How's his health?
His health is good. He's
see him in the finals, do you believe?
Do I believe? I don't know. I honestly hope so.
Yeah.
I honestly hope so. But again, like, when you have an injury that's real, and it's a real injury, for him, like, he's got to be Kevin Durant. So he's got about the highest pain threshold of someone I know. So when he misses time, it's because the injury is real. It's a real injury. And I hope that we can see him next week or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, I think that the finals would be better with Kevin Durant. He's put on such shows in his previous two trips to the finals with Golden State where he has given credence to the question, is he the best player on the planet? That's happened, and it was happening this postseason as well. Golden State's a much better team with Kevin Durant. I hope we see him as well. The other thing that Kevin Durant is in the headlines for, too, is more social media stuff. This going back and forth with Chris Broussard, longtime NBA reporter. Chris Broussard said on Undisputed about things that he's texted with Durant 2 or 3 hours straight about life, basketball, media, and faith. Broussard said, KD has gone at me much harder privately. We make a living of critiquing athletes. It would be hypocritical of us not to take it. Durant responded on Twitter, cap, 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 cap. You don't have my number, man. Broussard answered with Instagram DM, Twitter DM, text. It's all the same thing nowadays, dude. Don't act like I'm lying. The subject of social media, Kevin Durant gets skewered for the way he reacts to people.
Ever heard.
For the way he reacts to people on social media.
You got my number, man.
That came up on that panel, and Kevin Durant's agent, Rich Kleiman, said, yeah, I'm a fan of it.
I love it.
You do?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I know enough to know that that doesn't represent anything more than what it is. And Kevin has every right to engage and communicate and have fun and banter because, like, I think we all do it to a degree. He's just, it's magnified, and it's something that he likes to do. And I don't want to ever feel like my position as his manager means that I have the right to tell him that he shouldn't do something or be a certain way. Like, he's a 31-year-old man who's built this, or 30-year-old man who's built this incredible enterprise for himself. We have honest conversations, but never would I call him and say, like, that's such a bad thing to do for your brand.
I don't have any proof that the, because I know what my follow-up question would have been. Okay, if you're such a big fan of it, what do you think of the burner accounts? How about that? Did that come up? Because that's where he gets the most criticism.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and he should.
You know my feelings on it. If you're attacked on social media, if you respond, well, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I know you don't.
Other people will tell me that that's a stupid thing to do.
So. I would say you're very much like Kevin Durant.
But I don't have any burner accounts.
That we know of.
And I know exactly where I'm working next year. I am stuck here with you.
There could be worse things, Vinny.
Oh, I'm joking.
Well, I be here.
Oh, wait. You got to get some breaking news?
This is great here. I know somebody just tweeted this out, and our guy Anthony retweeted it. It's so funny. Guy tweeted out, this zoo costs $45. My son better get attacked. I'm sorry. That's just funny.
Shiny object
somebody
tweet.
Somebody said, what zoo are you at? He said, apparently the Scottsdale Harambe Extortion Price Zoo. No, it's yeah, I guess it's a shiny thing, but it's funny.
Join Burns and Gambo this Friday at Chandler Harley as they kick off the Memorial Day weekend freedom event, for your chance to get exclusive deals courtesy of Chandler Harley Davidson. Plus, they'll be giving out a chance to win D-backs and Phoenix Rising tickets. While on site, visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Yeah, we're live at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center in Tempe, day 3, week 1 of OTAs. Have some Cardinals guests coming up a little bit later on. Mike Sando had another piece on ESPN.com, which I found intriguing. Mike Sando has probably, from a national perspective, written more about the Arizona Cardinals than any other national writer.
All right.
This offseason.
I agree.
But the piece is 7 NFL teams that had the most compelling offseasons. And not surprisingly, the Arizona Cardinals are featured prominently on the list. And we have Mike Sando on all the time. And he's a very smart guy who's very dialed in. And he's kind of built this brand for himself of being the conduit from between NFL executives and what they think about what's going on other teams and the reader. And I love that stuff. I think you get unfiltered opinions, both positive and negative. So Sando wrote, execs predicted for months before the draft that the Cardinals would select Kyler Murray first overall. It was a move few could have envisioned 1 year ago, but an almost necessary one after the team named Cliff Kingsbury its head coach. First quote, it seemed like they were all over the board with convoluted moves, but there is a connection with the quarterback and the offensive guru and the system, a former general manager said. It has a chance now, whereas before the draft, I would have said no way. The decision to make another coaching change without overhauling the front office means the Cardinals' first-year head coach inherits a seventh-year GM in Steve Keim, who has a winning record, but could be on less stable ground after three straight non-winning seasons and a 2018 DUI conviction. Quote, wouldn't it be interesting if they had a new GM with Kingsbury and Murray, an exec asked. Maybe they do different things rather than signing all these old guys that have been cut. Then Sando continues with Brooks Reed, 32, Robert Alford, 30, were older cut players signed by Arizona before the free agency period opened. Other veteran additions included Tyrell Suggs, 36, 30-year-old Charles Clay, and 30-year-old J.R. Sweezy. An evaluator said, I probably would have gone young with Kyler Murray. If they start poorly and it looks like they're going to miss the playoffs, what does a young coach say to Tyrell Suggs?
You know, I think about that, and I think that that's a big deal if this doesn't work.
I don't think it's as big a deal. Can I explain why I think that?
Yeah, please do.
Tyrell Suggs wanted to come home. He left the team where he had carved out a great career, and he signed with his hometown team with full knowledge that they're coming off a 3-win season.
Yeah, okay. I didn't mean exactly Tyrell Suggs. Because what you're saying is correct. I'm just saying in general, if they get off to a bad start, I think a lot of the veterans on the team might start rolling their eyes. That's all. We saw last year with the guy who had a lot of NFL experience and Steve Wilks. Imagine what would happen if Cliff Kingsbury doesn't have answers.
Well, I will say this, and it came up in our discussion with DJ Humphries yesterday too, a guy who lived through last year, a guy who has been here for the good times as well. But DJ said first, you know, nobody was feeling sorry for anybody. Nobody was pointing fingers, even though it was loss after loss after loss last year.
And then he cursed.
And then he cursed and made Jarrett listen to the show. The piece continues. While execs generally did not like the way Arizona rushed out to sign recently cut players such as Alford, the Cardinals roster could have been barren enough to justify such an approach. Here's the last quote. Whether you like Kingsbury or not, and I am a fan, they went out and got him a team that he could succeed with, said an exec. Even the veterans they signed, okay, they were trying to get some depth and eliminate some holes before the draft. Maybe they are not great, but you can at least line up and play with them. I get their strategy, and this coach, more than their last one, gives them a clear identity to build around. I totally agree
with
that.
Okay, yeah.
Depth was such an issue last year. So when a guy like Robert Alford or Brooks Reed or Charles Clay becomes available at positions of great need for this team, yeah, you can look at their age, but you can look at it another way and say, major upgrade over what they had. This was a massive facelift.
Yes, and they needed it.
Yeah, if you want to put this into plastic surgery terms, this wasn't an aging woman going in to get a Botox shot. This was a woman who went in and said, you know, give me the whole gambit, Doc. I want the facelift.
Right.
I want the eye lift. Do it all. That's what they underwent this year. And yeah. They needed to.
I completely agree with that. And so, once again, I look at the offensive line and I go, okay, this looks like this might be the one. We'll find out. I mean, I've heard the criticism of Jordan Hicks. In fact, I told you, I know a guy in Philly, a football guy, who said, nah, good player, not worth that kind of money. I like Jordan Hicks a lot. Okay? Some of these moves individual. Marcus Gilbert, people I've talked to said very powerful offensive lineman if he stays healthy. We know what you think of DJ Swearingen. To me, I look at the Cardinals and the moves they made, and yes, they checked a lot of boxes. But they checked boxes with a lot of guys that I would have done the same thing with. Some guys, we'll find out. Tyrell Suggs, I think, is the classic case of exactly what are you going to get from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How much is he into it? How much is he into playing football? Is he, you know my thoughts on it? My thoughts are that there's an untold story here between him and the Ravens. And I don't know if we're ever going to hear it. But I'm cool with what they've done. But like you, I'm just going to keep the keep the thought in the top of my head that all these guys always look great in May. And it's always easy to believe in every free agent acquisition before they play a game.
Yeah.
That's all.
But to my earlier point, and yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, because that's been my motto since the end of last year, is show it on the field. But my reaction to what they've done is a positive one. Had they come back with largely the same group as they did last year,
that'd be dumb.
Then we got an issue.
Yeah.
We got a real issue.
That's right.
So at one point, a couple weeks ago, I went through the roster and of 90 guys. There was 47 new names on this roster.
And that's
what they needed to do.
I know. And listen, and that's why I look at, and I've said this before, but there's two sets of predictions that don't line up. One, the Arizona Cardinals killed the NFL draft and are one of the most compelling teams out there. But B, their over-under on wins is less than it was last year. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time reconciling both of them. In a league where every year you get at least one team from worst to first, I think people are... They're just not trusting Steve Keim and what he's done here based on what they saw last year.
Yeah,
and in recent years.
NFL.com had a piece today, which last place team is the biggest sleeper heading into the 2019 NFL season. And of course, along with the Cardinals, your other last place teams were Cincinnati, Detroit, Jacksonville, the Giants, Jets, Raiders, and Bucks. One of the members of their panel, Marcus Grant, picked the Cardinals as the biggest sleeper heading into the 2019 season. He wrote, "It just might be the hype talking, but I'm going with the Cardinals. It might also be because we're expecting Cliff Kingsbury to bring Arizona's offense into the 21st century after the Redbirds trotted out one of the harder-to-watch attacks in recent memory." Amen, Marcus. That alone could make a big difference for a team that suffered four losses by three or fewer points in 2018. While the Rams are still poised to be the best team in the NFC West, there is room for another squad to make a run. With a new scheme and a little luck, the Cardinals could open some eyes this year.
Yeah, you don't want to be, and I think we're all the same way. I think a lot of us, from me to Dave Pasch to you, we all kind of feel a little bit stupid for going headfirst into all that optimism surrounding Steve Wilks last year, because it's what we were hearing. So I think that we remember that, and we want to temper the optimism. I'll just put it this way. I would be very disappointed if the ceiling for this team, if six wins would be considered a good season for this team. That would be not cool. That would not be something I would expect. I expect them to be better than that.
Yeah, but again, what do the six wins look like?
True.
You know, do they get blown out in the 10 losses? Are they competitive largely for 16 weeks? I mean,
are they actually competitive with the Rams for once?
The bottom line is six wins. You doubled your win total. How many teams around the league can make that claim on a year-to-year basis?
Not a lot.
When the bar is low, obviously it's easier to reach. I get it. But we shall see as we continue live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. It's Wednesday, so we get a round of yay or nay next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Are the D-backs hitters just in a slump, or is this a sign of things to come? Your choices? Just a slump? Sign of things to come? What do you vote for, Bick?
You know where I'm at on that. At least I think you do.
Sign of things to come?
Yeah.
I will cast a vote on your behalf and let you know that you are in a group of 63% of our voters who think this is a sign of things to come. 37% say just a slump. However you feel, you can cast your vote in today's Sanderson Ford poll question. It is on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
Bickley and Murata. See or no? We or nah? Yay or nay?
We send things back to the Auction Community Studios to our master of ceremonies, the one and only Jared Carl.
The home office in Wahoo, Nebraska.
Yeah.
All right. Golden State Warriors made their fifth straight NBA Finals, but a lot of uncertainty this offseason. Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, Klay Thompson, who knows where they're all going to go. Yay or nay, the Phoenix Suns will make the playoffs before the Golden State Warriors make the finals again.
Oof. Nay. I think even if Durant leaves, Thompson's back. Golden State's still the front runner.
Same.
In the West.
Same. That's what kind of, that's the scary takeaway, is that I don't think what Golden State has is near the end. I think losing a couple of pieces like they're expected to is going to invigorate them. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe.
Yeah. And I have a much easier time picturing Kevin Durant leaving than I do Klay Thompson leaving. You agree with that?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's almost like it's a challenge. Each round they lose a star player. First DeMarcus Cousins, then Kevin Durant, then Andre Iguodala, and they just like keep winning. It's like they're testing. They're just trying to make it harder on themselves.
Yeah.
All right, we talked about the need for the Diamondbacks to improve their offense and the possibility of Yosmani Tomas coming up. Yay or nay, Yosmani Tomas will play more games this season for the Arizona Diamondbacks than Patrick Peterson will for the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh. So we know Peterson's number is going to be 10 or less.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say yay. Tomas will play less.
Same here.
And if the Diamondbacks do dip into the minors, like I said earlier, I hope it's Crone first and not Tomas.
Yeah, I could see Yosmani Tomas getting a maybe a homestand at some point, going 1-for-18 with 15 strikeouts.
Whoops.
And
I think he's more apt to play in an American League park.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's just that. So yes, I'm gonna agree with Vinny.
All right. Juwan Howard officially accepts the position to be the next Michigan basketball head coach, 5-year deal. Yay or nay, there is an ASU alum that you one day would like to see become head coach of the basketball or football team.
That's a tough question.
There's nobody that springs to mind, right, as a potential?
Byron Scott, but he might be done coaching.
Yeah, I want to see Ike Diagu coach the Pelicans.
No, of ASU basketball or ASU football.
Yeah, I want to see.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I want to see Sean Redditch be the guy who succeeds Bobby Hurley.
I
want to
see Kyle Dodd succeed Bobby Hurley. No, I can't. I don't think there's that.
I got nothing. I got nothing for you there.
Got nothing.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. The Suns officially introduced Monty Williams as their new head coach. Yay or nay, Monty Hall is the greatest game show host of all time.
Nay.
Who is?
Alex Trebek.
Richard Dawson.
Pat Sajak. Gene Rayburn.
Let me ask you guys an honest question about Richard Dawson, though. When you look back...
Yay or nay?
It's creepy when he kisses every woman on the
completely.
Lips.
Completely.
I thought it was creepy when it was happening in real time.
You thought in real time?
So did I. Yeah, so did I. Yeah, there was... I watched an episode. For some reason, a video popped up of it. And he was just laying the mac on this daughter of some family member. And I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Just stop.
He was...
And he was good in Hogan's Heroes.
He was great as the host of Family Feud, too. And tremendous on Match Game. But, yeah, that always weirded me out.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see the movie, I think it's called Autofocus, with Greg Kinnear about the guy from Hogan's Heroes?
Yeah, Bob Crane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richard Dawson was featured in that movie. He has a...
Bob Crane was killed in Scottsdale. That's about all this weird stuff that he was into that got him killed, yeah.
I think I remember this story.
Yeah.
They made a movie about it. Did they really?
Pretty good movie.
Yeah, good movie. All right. Today is National Solitaire Day, which I'm sure you already knew. Yay or nay, the greatest card game is Uno.
No.
Nay.
Blackjack is the coolest card
game.
Yeah, Blackjack.
Really?
I was always I was always a fan of just good old fashioned war growing up.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
You ever play War at a Casino?
No.
I didn't know you could.
Oh yeah, they have it. It's if you just hate money, then they will.
It's like that scene from Vegas Vacation.
Right. What card am I thinking of?
Pick
what
a number.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Neither of you guys are poker guys?
No, I'm not.
I would never. I would not feel comfortable playing poker in a outside like three card poker. That's the only poker I'll play in a casino.
Yeah.
It's just it's an intimidating game to me. I've played it like in just with friends and when the whole craze hit. It's just there's so much
there's,
there.
And you know what? And solitaire is very addicting, especially online. It's basically it's almost like with everybody's. You know, it's like with everybody's mainframe on every computer everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual art of playing solitaire with a real deck of cards, can't beat it, man. You feel kind of lonely. Feel kind of like a loser.
Oh, hence the name.
Hence the name. Solitaire.
Was the original name of the game was You Are a Loser.
You Are a Loser.
Do either of you have like a game, like a card game that your family played? Like a sort of gin rummy or hearts or spades or something like that, kind of a takeoff? Yeah.
And I know families that do that. I've never been in that family.
Do you remember the game? It was an old game. We used to play it in the 70s and 80s. Rummy Royal.
Sounds familiar.
We used to play that. That was really when I was really young.
You ever play 52-card pickup?
And either of your parents ever played like bridge or pinochle?
No.
No.
Okay. All right.
Card games that involve math are... That's... You know what I mean?
Yep. I was told there would be no math.
Right.
All right, finally, we talked
about...
They
love Yahtzee, Jared. They were big
Yahtzee.
Fans of Yahtzee.
They were dice people.
I like Yahtzee, too.
Yahtzee's fun.
Yeah. All right. We talked about best places, best times to have a drink, to have a beer. I don't know if you saw the new craze that's going across Australia right now, but people like Post Malone, Casey Musgraves have now been participating in it when they perform in Australia, called a shoey. Where you take off your shoe or take off someone else's shoe and pour a beer in it.
That's disgusting.
And drink the beer out of it.
That's disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, nay, you have ever drank alcohol out of an unusual receptacle.
Nay. Bottles, cans, glasses. Boom, that's it.
Trying to think. In all my weirdness... I don't think so.
Yeah, I saw videos of people doing that with their shoe.
Ugh.
Disgusting. My foot is in that shoe.
I mean...
You know where that foot has been?
Would you take a nice icy beer and just dip your toe in it and then drink? You wouldn't do that.
Post Malone. You know who Post Malone is? Post Malone.
Yeah, of course.
Putting his lips on a disgusting shoe filled with beer. Oh, it was so gross. Said the shoe.
Said the shoe.
All right, that's yay or nay. We do it every Wednesday here on Bickley and Murata. D-backs getting ready for their series finale and trying to avoid the sweep at San Diego against the Padres. D-backs on deck is up next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
Things not going great for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Brought it up yesterday. Can update it now.
Yeah.
Ever since that massive meltdown late in that game, the series finale in Denver against the Rockies, the Diamondbacks are now 5-11. A game they led last night 2-0 at Petco after solo home runs from Eduardo Escobar and John Ryan Murphy. Things got sideways in the sixth, and the Padres scored 3 runs. Eric Hosmer, a 2-run shot that scored Manny Machado. The big blow, and it gave the Padres a 3-2 win. It puts the Padres in position now, Bick, to sweep this series from the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And these teams go into today's game with identical records. This is now officially a battle for second place in the National League West.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Time to take a look at today's pitching matchup. It's brought to you by Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, no one matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BurgSimpson.com. BurgSimpson.com. That's again BurgSimpson.com. On the mound today for the Arizona Diamondbacks, it is Merrill Kelly, 4-4 with a 4.21 ERA. He is making his third start this year against the Padres. Had his major league debut at Petco Park on April 1st. He went 6 innings, allowed 5 hits and 3 runs in a 10-3 win. 12 days later, Kelly pitched against San Diego again. five innings, four earned runs. They lost that game 5-4. In his last start, the right-hander who came over from a stint in Korea, he was great. Five and a third scoreless innings with four strikeouts in a 7-0 win over the Giants. Incidentally, the last game the Diamondbacks won. Merrill Kelly's been a little bit of hot, a little bit of cold. But for a guy at the end of the rotation, Bick, I think you would take that
for
performance.
For a guy that you bring over from Korea, I think you've been more than gotten some value out of him.
Yeah, the counter for San Diego will be left-hander Eric Lauer, 23 years old, 2-5, 5.24 ERA this year. First-round pick of the Padres back in 2016. Like Kelly, he's making his third start against the D-backs this year. He has not had the same success, though. 0-2. With a 6.30 ERA against them this season. D-backs roughed him up for 4 runs and 9 hits and 5 innings back on April 2nd. That was an 8-5 D-backs win. April 14th, he was saddled with another loss when he yielded 3 runs and 8 hits and 5 innings of an 8-4 game. Lauer won his last start nearly a week ago, threw a season-high 105 pitches and allowed just one earned run in a 4-3 victory over the Pirates. So there's your pitching matchup, again, brought to you by Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, no one matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BurgSimpson.com. Speaking of injuries, why don't we squeeze in the injury report right now, too.
Man, that was smooth.
Brought to you by Joint Chiropractic. Improve your quality of life with routine, affordable chiropractic care. Find one of over 30 locations by visiting thejoint.com today. Yeah, David Peralta back on the injured list. Left last night's game early with a sore right shoulder. When that happened, his status for today was up in the air. I got to do a little research to see if he's in the lineup today. But that's the big injury news, along with Taijuan Walker, who in his recovery from Tommy John surgery, he suffered a right capsule strain during rehab, and that set his whole process back. Other than that, Jake Lamb still sidelined. Wilmer Flores has landed on the 10-day injured list with a right foot contusion as well. So that's where the D-backs are injury-wise. For San Diego, Travis Jankowski, he's still on the injured list, but nothing really new has popped up on the Padres injury front. That's, again, the injury report brought to you by The Joint Chiropractic. Improve your quality of life with routine, affordable chiropractic care. Find one of over 30 locations by visiting thejoint.com today. For me, Beck, one of the most disappointing things about last night's game was it happened with Zach Greinke.
Yeah, I know.
Around.
Yeah, you don't want to waste those.
And he didn't miss a start, thankfully. The Diamondbacks dodged a bullet when he left his last start early, and then he threw the bullpen, felt good, so he didn't miss any time. And he actually pitched really well. There was a soundbite earlier in the show on one of the updates from Maloney where Torey Lovello talked about just the pressure that the lineup, who is slumping right now, is putting on these starting pitchers, and you saw it come to fruition last night.
Big issue. Yeah, that's, and I think that's the way to put it. And that is the issue here. And listening to Mike Hazen today, they've suddenly kind of developed a very bad vibe for the month of May. They're not feeling really good about it. Wasn't good to them last year, isn't good to them this year. And then once again, Mike Hazen speaking about the team slumping collectively at the same time. Now, you know, last year that was a huge issue for this baseball team. And you know my thoughts on it. I thought a lot of it had to do with the tunneling theory they were trying to kind of incorporate into some of what they were doing here. To me, they've just gotta find a way to break out of this offensively. Maybe just have one of those 10-run games that sort of gets a ball rolling, if you will. I don't know. I mean, it's a hard thing to do because you can't just wish and will your way out of a slump.
Yeah, and it looked like, you know, I mentioned that game last Friday, the opener in that series against the Giants at Chase Field. It looked like it was going to be a pitcher's duel, and the Diamondbacks were able to work out of a jam, and then the bats picked up late in that game. It was a 7-0 game, but they were unable to follow that up on Saturday. They couldn't touch Madison Bumgarner. Sunday, they really struggled with the bats. First two games in San Diego, the bat struggles have continued. Mike Hazen, the general manager, was on with Doug and Wolf this morning here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and he talked about how to fix these recent struggles.
how to fix it. I think honestly, I know this, we talked too about how we could round out the edges and the guys that are performing in AAA and how do you fit some of those performances onto your team. My argument is, you know, 1 through 7 in our lineup or innings 1 through 7 against starting pitching is where these games are being lost in a lot of cases, that we need to get the main cogs in our lineup going on a more regular basis in order to fix it.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing, obviously, and I just pulled up the numbers, did a query on the last 2 weeks for the offense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys slumping at the same time. David Peralta has been basically slump-proof this year. He's been really consistent. But again, the injury, second injury issue that's popped up in the recent weeks. Eduardo Escobar has put up good power numbers, and he's driven in a lot of runs, but he's striking out a ton. The batting average is low. Ketel Marte has cooled off a little bit. Nick Ahmed, Christian Walker has really struggled. Gerard Dyson. Flores has been the hottest hitter on the team, but now he's on the injured list.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things. And I agree with you and the poll question we asked today. Is this a slump or a sign of things to come? It has a sign of things to come kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it really, really does. And that's what I've been afraid of all along. And I just... I know some people believed in the baseball team. I wanted to. I just don't think it's their time yet.
Yeah.
And nothing I've seen recently has kind of shaken that, if you will.
Yeah, it's time for today's Keys to the Game, presented by Chapman Ram. Take advantage of Ram's Bigger Things sales event going on now. Chapman Ram off the 101 and Indian School Road in Scottsdale. I'll offer my key first.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just shaking off whatever's ailing you. They've got a pitcher on the mound against Lauer that they've got some familiarity with. They've had a taste of success. The key for me is just to rely on that previous success where the Diamondbacks, you know, put up 16 runs in the two games that Lauer has started this year.
Yeah.
Just rely on that experience and see if it can shake up this offense a little
bit. I would
bit.
Like to, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can distill this to one key. Eric Lauer is coming off his best start of the season. He can be a tough left-handed guy. And to me, I think that they just need to go out with some attitude today because San Diego can get to 500 at home. They can pass the Diamondbacks. They just need to show San Diego that Arizona's a better team.
Yeah, that's D-backs on deck. First pitch at 12:40 over on ESPN, 6:20 a.m. It's Bickley and Murata. The Blast is next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to D-backs on Deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.